This morning I want us to think about something. I want us to think about the different cultures throughout the world that have ever existed. Unfortunately, our culture of this era find ourselves like the first culture of God's people, the Hebrew nation. I will make of you a nation that cannot be numbered, God said. And I will watch over you. I will protect you. Whatever you need, I will see to it you're taken care of. So the Hebrew nation walked through their generation with power direct from God, their creator. And God says, listen to me and I'll give you the love, the strength, the healing, the power that you're going to need to deal with life. But then God's people, God even told them, look, I chose you to be my people and you weren't even a people. You were the outcast from all other societies. And I chose you after so much love that God had given, so much wealth to the Hebrew nation. They did not have to worry about food. They didn't worry about clothing. They did not even have to worry about the enemies at the gate, because God himself was their watchman. But then, through the envy of the human existence, they started complaining to God. You know, we're too different. We're not like everyone else. Everyone else has a king. Was that to say they didn't recognize God as the ultimate king, Lord of lords? Evidently, they had problems with worshiping their Redeemer because they could not control their Redeemer. So they all start whining, give us a king like other nations. We're too different. Give us a king. And God tries to reason with them. There is no reason in the heart of man. Do you not realize, God said to the Hebrew nation, that there's nothing you lack more than what you need, more than what you even want? The nations of the world fear you because I am your God. They continue to whine, give us a king. Because we don't want to be different. The story of that Hebrew nation, we should all know and understand. Because of their sin, direct sin in face of God, they turned their back on His truth and on His love. And through the pride of their heart, they said, we will do it our way. So the scripture tells us that God said, okay, have it your way. The Hebrew nation ended up going into bondage in Egypt many other times also, but they were enslaved for 400 years for the sin they had committed directly against God himself. They had no charge against God because they lacked nothing. Going throughout history, we see nation after nation that stood because of their commitment to the living God and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God said, I will make of America a great nation. America became the greatest of nations. We've seen, witnessed the power of the United States of America. But then, the same pride came in that came with the Hebrew nation. We can do it ourselves. God, we do not need you. You are now hereby no longer allowed to come into our schools. Your word will not be allowed to be read in public. Anytime you mention Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, you will be considered lunatic, just like John the Baptist, just like Isaiah, just like God had used the prophets throughout the ages to warn each generation. I give you all you have. I've given you the strength to protect those who cannot protect themselves. I've given you the wealth to grow the food, to take care of the needy. But to depend on me, not on your wealth, not on your power, on me. And God looked on America and has watched as America has decided to follow the gods of this world. Now, it doesn't keep God from loving me or you any less. It doesn't mean that God's not going to bless us, because, folks, there's power in the blood. And God says, I will set your soul afire once again. I will give you the opportunity to be revived again and again and again. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the power. I'll give you the wisdom. Therefore, he says to us, read my word. Look to your heart, for I speak directly to each one as an individual. I give you my promise. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. But once again, those who receive such gifts from God murmur. They don't like God's plan. They don't like God's man. They don't like God's buildings. They don't like God's word. So therefore, Satan says, let us stop the truth and give them a lie. The human mind had much rather trust in a lie than the truth anytime. For the lie flatters. The lie sounds like fun. The lie sounds like hope, but there is no hope. Where God is not present, there can be no hope. Where there are no good and bad, there can be no hope. For we must be given the freedom to choose, and God says, you have it. Now who are you going to choose? Let me tell you the story now about these two nations. God has looked at us. And God says, look, I want to give the message of the manna. When the Hebrew nation was led out of bondage from Egypt, now they weren't led out hungry. As a matter of fact, they had taken most all the grain from Egypt. They were eating food that came from Egypt for a long, long time. But then When the grain started running out from Egypt, the Hebrew nation turned on God's leader that he put in place. His name was Moses. They tried to kill Moses so many times. Moses was safe with the Egyptians. Paul was safe with the Romans. The Romans didn't have any trouble with Jesus. It was the rebellion of God's people that wreaked havoc upon each generation. For we have sinned a horrible sin. We have once again denied the living God publicly. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to say anything. It's going to bring pressure on my family, on me. What if I decide that I ever want to run for public office? Well, that in itself shows you're not too bright. Sin continues to well up. God leads them out, gives them the food. But they run out of food. Cannot believe, Moses, that you would bring us out here. We don't have anything to eat. So God tells Moses, tell them. And this was after the last bit of grain was gone. You got to think of this. Where they had to depend once again, not on what they had taken or what they could see, but on the God and his promise to them they could not see. And God said, Moses, I'm going to give them manna. Where did manna get its name? What does it mean? It means when the Hebrew went out of their tent that day, the first time that the manna was rained down by God, and they looked at it, they said, what is that? That's what manna means. What is that? And God was to let them know, look, that's angel food. That comes from the seeds of heaven. And once again, God says, let me remind you of something. I created you. I created you. Did you think that I would not take care of you? God said, I'm in charge of making sure that you have food, drink, and clothing. I will make sure you have it. And God gave them that promise. Turn to me and you'll be fine. But as it so often is, they got tired of God's food. Food for the body. And they started to gripe. They started to complain. I got a big sign in my office. Most of you have seen it. I put it out ever so often if I know somebody's going to come in there and gripe. And it says, no whining. No whining. You want to whine, whine at home. God then gives them the order. And he says, pay attention to me. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Listen to what Moses tells them. Moses is getting pretty tired of these people. At one time, remember, Moses said, Lord, don't kill them. Please kill me instead of killing them because they don't know what they're doing. Here, you'll hear somebody on the cross say that too. And then later on, Moses got to fed up and said, Lord, you had a good idea. Kill them and let's start all over again. That's how bad it had gotten. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. He humbled you, says Moses, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known. You never saw it before. Nobody had. I was reading a background thing from scientists who said, oh yeah, we know what that is. And I read that garbage, I don't know why. And they said, but it only falls 2 months out of the year. Well, when God rained manna down, it was for 40 years. Okay? 40 years. But they want to say, no, this is the way it was. Let me tell you something. You take the holy word of God as just being that holy and the word of God. Listen to him. With manna which neither you nor your fathers had known to teach you. Listen to it. Oh, by the way, while you're looking and listening, remember, you remember anybody else that you remember in the New Testament as making this same statement? To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It was Jesus when he was being tempted by Satan. See, Satan's temptations are always the same. Flattery. Oh, you don't need to stay where you are. Why are you going to get so many people upset in preaching the word? Is God not a God of peace? He is a God of peace for the Christian. Do you think people that don't know Christ as Lord and Savior are at peace? I know Christians have foolishly, still find no peace. And I do not doubt their Christianity. If you're not a Christian, you'll say you're not. And if you pretend to be a Christian, you wished you hadn't. But God's people lost their appetite for God's food. Oh, gosh. Numbers 11, verse 6. Here comes the complaining. But now our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna. Now, they rebelled against God because God fed them the food that angels ate. Oh, that's just horrible, isn't it? Gosh, God said, I'll watch after you. How's this one? 40 years, you know what they saw? They saw the clouds by the day through the wilderness and a fireball in the skies to light their way at night. They could see the hand of God and God feeding them. And then God listens to those cries. And that equaled extreme anger from God. Go ahead and complain. Complain against God's man. Complain against God's plan. Complain against God and his holy word. And try to reword it in a way to where it makes everyone feel good. I frankly don't care about your feelings or mine. I care about the truth that needs to enter the heart of man. That truth has never changed since before time began. Truth has always been in our Creator. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God. And God came down because he loves us. Said, I'll feed you. The Hebrews started whining so bad, they said, we have not had meat since we left Egypt. Don't ever get God angry. Numbers 11:10. Moses heard all the families standing in the doorway of their tents whining. You all thought I made that up. Whining. And the Lord became extremely angry. Moses was also very aggravated. This is a time in the Moses said, that's okay, I'll take the heat for him, Lord. The next time the anger comes out, Moses, kill him, and let's go build a nation. Anything, these people are so hard-headed and hard-hearted, they are not going to listen to you. God gave them the food, like he said he would. He gave them water in the wilderness. Folks, all Moses had to do was to strike a rock and water would come out. What else they want? And the clothing, did you know that the 40 years they were in the wilderness, their clothes did not wear out? They were the same at the end of the 40 years as when they went in. Do you know God's word tells us not only that, their feet were never swollen. We walk from one room to the other half a time and our feet are swollen. 40 years. God said, did I not tell you I'd take care of you? And I did. Did you ever hunger? We didn't hunger, Lord, but it wasn't what we wanted. We'd want the pheasant. Well, don't do that with God, especially when you know he was extremely angry. And God calls Moses out and said, come here, you tell the people, I'm going to send them the meat they want, the pheasants. But I'm not going to just feed them with those for one day, Moses. Not going to do it for two or three. For 1 month, they're going to be eating meat. And the scripture said that God allowed the birds to fly so close to them, they could just reach up and pull them down. And they gorged themselves. What was the sin? The sin was looking back to Egypt, where they came from. You got that? The sin was turning around looking back. Remember Lot's wife? The angel said, don't look back. She turned and looked back. Just like most Baptists would, she turned and looked back, feeling sorry for herself. And then by the end of that month, the scripture says that, while I love the old English on this, the King James, ere while the meat was in their teeth. I don't know why I like it, but I do. Ere while the meat was still in their teeth, God killed them. Now, that's food poisoning, folks. Don't make God angry and begging him to send you a special food. Don't do that. But what's the difference? God said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. America, all the great nations that will come now that my son has come, I want to tell you something. I'm going to give you the ultimate manna. The manna from my table. The manna from my household. The manna that really brings full nourishment to the body, to the spirit, to every living focus within your life. I'm sending my one and only son. I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to watch him die on that cross, taking your sin. I want you to feed on him. Come to my table, says God, for at my table there is much food. Oh, but you Christians, that spiritual stuff. Man does not live by bread alone, but man does live and can live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Have you caught it yet? It doesn't matter what you see. It matters who you are. And as one of God's children, God said, don't sweat it. I got you. I got you. Are we not compelled to look up from whence come our blessings? Are we not compelled by God himself to say, I don't care how low in the ditch of life you have fallen, look to me. And after you look to me, I'll send one of my spirits with skin on them to minister to your hurt. I'll take care of you. I'll feed you. The greatest fear in my spirit today is a fear of the anger of God and what he said he would do. My spirit will not strive with man forever. There will come a time to where I will remove my proclaimers of the truth. You will search for my word, but there'll be no preacher to give it. You will look for me, but I cannot be found. But I give to you this day, this hour. Today is the day of salvation, for you are not promised tomorrow. I am the same God. There's no change in our Lord, in our Savior. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The things that change in his life are the creation that God gave in breathing breath into the human existence. And God said, I love you. I want you to be a part of my family. Tell me what God's done to us that he deserves us shutting our doors. Tell me what God's done to us when you listen in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and picture Jesus saying, I'm knocking at the door. And you look at it and he's knocking at the door of the church, of his church, because he was put out. And God looks down and he says, I will take care of your food, of your drink, and of your clothing, America. I will send my son. For the whole focus of all the Old Testament teaching was for the day the Messiah would come. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came into this world. That was the beginning of the end time. That was the beginning of the end. That ushered in the church age, pouring out of God's Spirit to each individual. And the scripture says that's the end time. Preacher, you're saying the world's coming to an end. When? Don't have the slightest idea. But I want you to look around. I want you to think about something. As people mock the holy word of God, think about the nations before us. If we refuse to learn from history, we will truly repeat it. Nation after nation turning their back on God should never happen in this nation. More than any nation's ever dreamed. And now we think we did it. And we cry for a human king. Well, we've had a few. How do you like them? Will the United States of America turn once again to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings before he withdraws his word and shuts the mouth of his prophets, closes them, and calls us home? Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 49 through 51. Listen. Your forefathers, Jesus is telling us something, folks. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And he did it. Jesus just didn't talk a good game. Jesus is the only game, the only truth. I will not stand before the idols of the world and declare maybe there's another way, for I know there is no other way. It is either through the blood of Christ or we will, listen to me, we even know that at the resurrection time of the dead, those who are in Christ will go to be with Christ in a glorified body. But read it closely. Those who are resurrected that are non-believers will be resurrected in the human body. And from that point, their human body can never die. The scripture says they'll cry for the rocks and the mountain to cover them. God says they will beg for death, but death will not come. They cannot be covered, for they have chosen their God, the God of the human flesh. So that God they will serve throughout eternity. You know why I said that? Nobody has to. Nobody has to die and go to hell. Nobody has to. So the ones that go choose to. Yes, God will give us the freedom of choice. Have you ever noticed our choices individually? How'd those work out? Again, God's people lost their appetite, this time for God's spiritual food. Actually, that was the loss of appetite they had with God in the Old Testament. The Lord has tried to show us, or He has shown us, in every way, that He is still Lord of Lords. He is still God. And that will never change. Gospel of John 6, 61 through 63. Aware, now Jesus just says this, and guess who gets all ticked off at Jesus? Aware that His disciples were grumbling, oh gosh, we men are some of the worst grumblers and gripers I believe I've ever witnessed in Scripture. Aware that His disciples were grumbling about this, that's about what He said. Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where He was before? You do know that happened just a little bit after this. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. I don't want to leave this world in this body, people. It don't work right now. I look forward to all of our reunion, all the Christians reuniting one day. Oh, I look forward to that. I love breakfast, but the Lord says it's supper time. That's going to be one great supper time. Here's the result of once again angering God. Luke 12, verse 5. The Lord says, wait a minute. Don't be afraid of man, but fear Him who, after the killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Jesus said, yes, I tell you, you fear Him. Folks, we have no excuse. What are we lacking? I mean, what are we even needing? We don't know what need is. And the rest of the world doesn't have to know. If we would get on our knees, and I'm talking about humanity throughout the world, and cry out to the living God for His help. You see, I see nothing wrong with having a world of peace. But God says you're not going to see peace in your generation. Jesus Himself said, peace, peace. They cry peace, but peace will not come. For you'll have families turning against one another. Nation. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. But the Lord says, the end is not yet. That's frightening. Because folks, all we have to do is turn on the television and or turn it off because you're sick of listening to it. Hurt, pain, death, agony, destruction. Jesus is the only way. Let's pray. Father, we realize, dear Lord God, that we are weak. Oh, Father, we're so laden down with the worries and of this world. We just frankly don't know what to do. Father, I lift to you each one listening, each family, Father, that as you move through your Spirit within their heart, that they will truly choose the right path, the right person, the right food. We ask, Father, now for that special anointing and blessing upon each one. Father, I ask for your protection of the flock that you've given me. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will send that protection in any form, that you watch over as we travel. Protect them, Father, when they're in the world with the wolves. Give them the light of the path to come home. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.